You are now listening to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. It is July 6th. We survived an incredibly long July 4th holiday.
Everybody got all their fingers and toes and...
I do. You know, it was the longest 4th of July celebration, I think, in the history of my life.
Well, it lasted a full 5 days.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a week of celebrating.
So you're here with Josh, Brian, and Peter. If you were looking for the Joe Rogan experience, you clicked on the wrong podcast.
But we are a tenth of the length, so you could stay.
You could still listen to
us. You could still listen while you're scrolling to find him. Yeah. Also, I had a really funny conversation with my dad over the weekend about how I would fight Joe Rogan.
You would lose.
And I know that. I know that. I'm not kidding myself, right? I know this, but I feel like I would challenge him. Like, if we made money, would you let someone beat you up for money?
Maybe.
Who is it? And
Joe
how
Rogan.
Much money?
Joe Rogan and like $1 million.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Although Joe would just have to kick me once. He's a national taekwondo champion.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Unbelievable athlete. But yeah, it's kind of like those things like I fought Mike Tyson. You remember when that was a, was a thing?
Yes. But
I would not let Mike Tyson punch me.
No.
Well, now
even at his age now, like there's still videos out there and he's unbelievably fast and powerful and No.
I'm sorry. Now that we've talked about me getting beat up for money.
It's a fun thing to think about, Josh being beat up for money.
You think you're funny, do you?
If anyone wants to, start a pool and start, collecting money, I'm game.
Well, you did have...
I've got bills to pay. I'm game.
Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are potentially going to have a fight.
That's not going to happen.
Talk about someone that looks a lot less powerful than Mike Tyson.
Yeah, although Elon apparently trains, so who knows. But they offered... what was it? Italy offered out the Colosseum.
Oh, wow.
For it. So who knows? We could have celebrity... That was one of my favorite... things there for a little while. Do you remember the claymation?
Yeah.
The celebrity death match.
That's so,
so good.
Too. It was just, it was bizarre. It's like, who's watching this? And you're like, oh, I'm watching it.
Yeah,
and
I know.
This is weird.
Yep. Well, you turn it on and you're like, what is this? And 10 minutes later, you're still watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could sell out the Colosseum or whatever, but we could try to get. Maybe like Fort Henry Mall.
I was going to say,
some
you have
space
a,
available.
You have a
over
foot
there.
In the door of Bristol Casino. Maybe we could throw some bets down.
Oh, Fort Henry Mall just had the JCPenney location bought out. They're bringing in, rural?
I didn't get to hear who
Rural
it was.
Life or something like that. Apparently, huge, store coming in. There's one up in Bristol. It's not one I'm
but they have
super
some,
familiar
they
with.
Have some plans for restaurants around the Bristol or the Kingsport Mall here at Fort Henry Mall.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it's going to.
Those plans have been there forever.
But they're still there. They haven't gotten rid of the plans. That's important. Well,
to circle back around to fireworks and 4th of July. So we were talking about how, of course, it was probably off the charts with inflation and with a five-day celebration that people probably spent an astronomical amount of money on fireworks.
I know the people who live behind me did.
So Brian's neighbors probably are a statistic now.
They made up enough to compensate for the rest of the neighborhood not buying fireworks this year.
How many dollars were spent on fireworks?
Guesstimation about $2.3 billion this year, which is about $100 million more than 2022.
That's insane.
That's a lot of money to spend on things.
It's so temporary. I mean, talk about something buying that's temporary. It literally explodes and it's gone.
I'm a little jaded too with fireworks because I'm an admitted Disney and Universal person. And when you see fireworks like in time to music and everything else, it's a different experience than just fireworks being set off in your front yard to see them explode or whatever it is.
I've always thought the drone idea, that people have been replacing some of the fireworks with drone shows, or even Bristol Motor Speedway during their Fantasy and Lights will put the music on with the lights around the racetrack. Stuff like that's a lot cooler to me.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm at the age where it doesn't do anything for me. Even with music, I don't care. Like, it's just nothing. And even I was with my child, and we were watching the fireworks, and we were literally like 4 minutes in. I said to him, "This is kind of boring."
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah, it is."
I need it to be part of music, or I need to be close enough that I feel the...
Yeah.
The actual explosion, like when they go off, like it kind of reverberates, you know, and you can feel the boom. But although, did you all see the viral video of it looked like napalm being set off?
No.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
You add that to the Canada fires, I bet some places were.
Yeah. It's nuts.
What's going on? Is Canada still a thing, or have they burnt to the ground? Hasn't Canada been on fire for like a month?
It's gone for a while.
Yeah, it'll come down here in spurts. Like, we'll kind of get clouds of smoke down here from time to time. I'll have a buddy that works in New York. He said it looked post-apocalyptic almost, that it was the equivalent of smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day by walking around outside.
We had some friends cancel their trip to Niagara Falls because it was recommended to them.
Yeah.
It was like, you're not going to be able to experience it the way you would want to, so.
Poor Canada.
Hopefully they're... I don't know if they're getting it under control or.
Well, it seems like the firework industry has really made its mark. Clearly, they're making money.
Right.
But you know who else is making money? Bucky's.
Largest Bucky's in the
world.
For now, right?
For now, yeah.
I guess Florida's getting the
next
they one.
Were. I was reading Florida's. Florida's trying to break the record with like an extra 6,000 square feet. I think the one in Sevierville is 75,000 square feet and like 120 gas pumps. It's insane.
I'm sorry. I don't get it.
No, I don't either.
Well, here's the great thing. Like, so this Bucky's is like a marketer's dream, literally, because anything they put their little beaver on is like gold right now. And they've broke the code. They figured it out because people will talk about how inconvenient it is, how dumb it is, but people still go because they want to see it. And then every time they do go, they take pictures and they post it. And then more people are like, oh, I'm curious. I don't really see the thrill in it, but I'm going to go eventually. And I'm probably going to take a picture because that's what everybody does because they've got it figured out. And I'm going to post something that says, can't believe I came here, but I did. Got my Slurpee, got my brisket, got my beaver nuts. What is it? They sell some.
Bucky's nuts.
Bucky's nuts. Got Bucky's nuts.
So the only time I've ever seen them is just driving up the interstate. You'll see a bunch of billboards in a row about them.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's about all of the information I have.
So you've not even seen one?
I've never, no.
Like online or anything? Like,
no, other than before I came in here today. Looked it up.
No, I haven't either.
It's kind of a cross between a gas station, a country store, and like a miniature Walmart.
See, that's probably exactly why I've never been there before.
But they hang their hat on having the cleanest bathrooms in the world.
Which is a huge plus when you're traveling.
Yeah, it's a huge plus. It's like, you know, I go in a bathroom. I'm a dude, right? So I go in the bathroom. I do my business for like 15 seconds. Wash my hands, not for 30 seconds, because we covered this in one of the other episodes. No one washes their hands for 30 seconds, even though that's what they tell you to do. And then I'm out. So do I need the bathroom to be, like, immaculate?
I just need there to not be a key. That's the worst feeling in the world.
A key with a big old paddle attached to it.
You're like, do I have to carry this in with me?
Well, and you don't find out until you get to the bathroom, yep. And then there's a sign on the door that says, ask attendant for key. Oh,
so you walk with shame and all the way across the store.
And the whole time you're like, I'm pretty sure I've seen this in a movie, yeah. And it doesn't end well. There's probably someone dead in there right now.
And the only thing worse is then when the bathroom is actually outside the gas station.
There you go.
Then you have to take the key outside the gas station and then back in.
Could you imagine being the employee, though?
I'd love it.
I was going to say, that has to be the best power trip for as little power that you have. Can I go to the bathroom?
No. If there was an outdoor one that said, please see attendant for the key, I would just, no. Nope. I'm going to pee on that tree over there.
Yeah.
I tried to do the right thing, but y'all made it incredibly difficult, and I don't want
to
die.
So if you're trying to get Josh's demographic to come to your establishment, do not advertise a clean bathroom.
That's not what I meant.
It's just not the main draw.
Well, of course, I don't want to go into filth, but it doesn't. I mean, a mediocrely clean bathroom would do.
It says a lot about your place if that's what you're advertising, though.
Yeah.
I would like to think we have more exciting things to advertise for us, but maybe we should throw out the clean bathroom thing in there and see what happens.
Well, we have exciting things to advertise. We finally got a decision on the student loan repayment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not necessarily exciting for the people who were hoping for one verdict.
Think about decisions like that. Someone's always excited. Yeah. So.
Yep.
You've probably got half the country that's really pumped up right now.
Right.
And then you've got half that are extremely mad.
Yeah.
It's a tough situation to be in. I know that that was also part of the idea, you know, during the campaign process, was to help eliminate this student debt. And I know a lot of folks in that demographic probably lean toward that. And now that it's not coming to fruition, I would imagine there's a lot of frustrated people. But if I'm not mistaken, they're going to Plan B.
Yeah, so
Plan B is that
the reason why the Supreme Court struck it down from a legal reason is that there were certain states that felt like the forgiveness would disadvantage those states, and that the president didn't have the right underneath the HEROES Act to do what he had done. And so that carried the case in 6-3 party line mm-hmm. vote. The new plan is much more aligned with not having it affect your credit rating if you don't repay during this kind of, they're creating a longer on-ramp for these, you know, people to start repaying their student loans. And so I'm sure they'll take another, you know, hack at it at some point, because it's still something that, you know, President Biden is pushing hard for, but you're in line. And I do think that there was one part where if you had made your payments over a certain period of time, they can choose to charge a lower interest rate. They can choose to forgive earlier based upon what's already allowed.
That's what I was kind of thinking. I was wondering why there wasn't more focus on negotiating the interest rate rather than negotiating the whole thing just be dismissed.
We need to figure out the interest rate and the overall price and increasing price of college.
Yeah, because even with what you were talking about, if they're, like you talked about extending the on-ramp or whatever, but I mean, that's just putting it off even further.
Well, that's the whole point of it, though. If we went ahead and let's say we forgave student loan debt across the board, mm-hmm. no one has student loan debt. Next year, someone's going to graduate with student loan debt, and we're back in a similar situation again.
Right.
Like, we can put Band-Aids on it all we want to. We need to kind of get into what's causing this issue. And
this also only deals with federal student loans,
right.
which are a very small portion of their overall. I was talking with one college student here recently who has a private loan, and we're working to get a better rate, but he's at 17% on his private loan for school.
Paul Volcker set that rate up.
it's one of those things that, yeah, we've got to figure out the right cost for college mm-hmm. because where we're at right now is not sustainable.
Well, the thing is it takes, and I don't know the stats on this, but it takes the average person years and years to pay off student debt, and they're not necessarily getting the benefit from college that they were 20 years ago.
Right.
but they're paying 20 times more.
Right.
So,
but I will say, and this is, you know, a point that a lot of people have made, it takes the education up front, because
absolutely
people know what loans they agreed to,
mm-hmm,
when they agreed to them. Yeah, so
that they need to do a better job. We as a system need to do a better job explaining it to them. If right you're going into this degree that's never going to make money,
yeah,
and you're taking out $100,000 in debt, chances are you're going to be paying that off the rest of your life.
Right.
But there's certain degrees that make more sense. You know, if you're going to be a doctor, in, you know, a medical doctor, $100,000 is probably a good rate to
well,
pay compared to some of them.
Well, and we have to figure out, there are certain professions that do provide a public good.
Absolutely.
That do not pay at a rate. So, you know, teachers mm-hmm are normally the example here, in that we probably want to incentivize our best and brightest becoming teachers.
We want them to be educated.
Right.
Yeah.
But right now, to take on $100,000 or $200,000 worth of debt for a $40,000 to $50,000, $60,000 a year, you know, capped after long periods of experience type mm-hmm thing, we're not doing a good job of setting up that economic situation so that we get the best teachers.
Mm. Well, like Peter, you're a fantastic teacher, but there's no incentive for you to ever go and become a high school teacher, even though we're needing more financial teachers.
Right. No, I mean, not that I would be a financial fabulous teacher, but no, there's no financial incentive for me to go back and, you know,
right,
become a teacher.
That's a big problem, and I think it's more preventing key role players in people's lives from choosing that path, I guess, is a good
right
way to put
physics
it.
Physics is a good example. A few years, when I was in high school, they started requiring all Tennessee students to take a physics course.
Right.
Turns out, though, if you go through all of the years of school to be a physics person, you don't tend to want teacher salary in a county school in Tennessee.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's nothing against them or the teachers. The incentive just isn't there.
Right. No, you're right.
So you end up with one teacher teaching physics at three different schools.
Well, I remember back when I was studying modern portfolio theory. I was going to do a whole thing, and I can't do it without laughing.
Josh has made fun of me this whole time, because
we do need to mark this occasion.
Harry Markowitz.
I don't appreciate you laughing, though, by the way. It's not very nice.
Harry Markowitz, he is the founder of modern-day portfolio theory. So everything we do here is pretty much dictated on
based
on what he did, the work he did. And it's essentially talking about how diversification in a portfolio reduces risk for that portfolio and leads to better returns, typically over longer periods of time. It's one of those things that makes a lot of sense now, but someone had to come up with it, and it didn't make sense before then.
Right.
He took the whole don't put all of your eggs in one basket and made it about stocks.
Yeah. And I mean, this was back in the 50s. He ended up winning the Nobel Prize in 1990. The man's brilliant, and everything we do is based off of him. And I think a lot of people think that economics is like every other field out there. It's not like chemistry, where the founders of chemistry were, you know, people throwing rocks together back before written history. You know, the founder of what we do died 2 weeks ago and lived in Chicago up until then.
Mm.
I think it's interesting.
Was he from that area?
I think he is from the Chicago area. He was a professor up there.
I couldn't remember.
Chicago University had a tremendous number of economic minds go through it. And as Brian said, modern portfolio theory, there's not a financial product that's out, you know, right now that isn't some way linked back to that. It's just
it's
so important. It's a big deal. So yeah, it's a sad day for our profession, you know, to lose that type of mind. He didn't have necessarily, you know, the best example I could give, you know, that people might latch on to would be like if Warren Buffett passed away, people would feel like, you know, the inventor of the stock market
right
went away, and that's not it. You know, it's Harry Markowitz.
I think it's something, for some wild reason, no one else has talked about this.
I spaced out for a second. Sorry, I'm back. I'm still caught up with people like clicking rocks, whatever you were talking about.
But the thing is,
I'm catching up.
Yeah, it's the what we do has only been around for 100 years or so.
Right.
And that's just super interesting to me.
Well, anytime you have something that is thought-based as opposed to results-based.
Right.
You know, hey, I figured out a better wheel. I figured out a better widget or whatever it is. Figuring out just a better idea to base all other ideas off of is a less obviously tangible thing. So.
And you can experiment a little bit in chemistry and biology. You can take stuff into a lab and mess with it. We try to do that in economics, and you always hear, you know, everything else remaining equal, this is what would happen.
And it never remains
equal. But nothing ever remains equal. We don't have that lab that we can take this to and practice. We're all dealing with the same market.
Yeah, we normally practice with the public with their own money, and then we figure out whether or not we did it right on the back end.
I mean, that's how economics has gone since the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, did you get the video that I sent you?
I did. That was...
So let's talk, sidebar, let's talk about my IRA later, how you're going to make me a millionaire.
And I remember this story. So what was the dude's name, Peter, that he started off with like, you know, a few thousand dollars.
It was $2,000.
In a Roth IRA, put it in some like speculative, you know, early private stuff, and now he has like $2 billion in a Roth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember that story?
Yeah.
That's what it was about. It was a couple years ago. I've been asking Brian to do this forever, and he won't do it.
Is it Peter Thiel?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's Peter Thiel.
Yeah.
He keeps telling me it's a bad idea.
Well, the thing...
No, the Roth IRA is a tremendous...
The Roth IRA is the best way to do it. And, you know, what he did is he essentially took his risk and put it in to the Roth IRA and said, if it goes on forever, I don't have to pay taxes on it when I pull it out. They don't talk about all the money he, you know, all the stocks that he chose and, you know, went down.
I want to invest into the, did you see there's a flying car?
Yes, the air
car.
Have
you seen that?
I saw like the hover thing, it's drone based.
No, this one, you are in a car, you're driving along, you can stop the car.
It
folds out its own wings,
it's like,
and then
a Batmobile.
It's the first ever car to drive to an airport and then fly to another airport.
Okay, no, I missed that one. I did see where they took, it was like 9 massive drones and created like a personal helicopter out of it.
Well, just get ready. We're going to YouTube after this. This is worth seeing.
Yeah, it was, I can't remember the name.
Air Car.
Is that the name of the company?
I think it's called Air Car.
Really?
I think... I actually saw this.
Air car.
I saw this on Top Gear last night.
What? Who are you?
It's not a car show. It's a car themed show.
All right.
But it was. I think they said they had it priced out at like $300,000, which to me,
it's going to be out apparently next year, to where people can just.
Yeah,
buy it.
I read something about 2025. But either way, here nor there. Flying cars.
I'll have to find it.
Oh, there it is. Klein Vision Air Car.
We'll have to find out if...
Man, we are living in a time when...
Everything's exponentially faster.
This is the future.
Everything's... this is it. This is it. This is what people have been talking about for like the last 80 years. We're living in it.
Well, that's the thing.
And
is,
I don't know if that's... awesome or scary.
I've been told since I was a kid we were going to have flying cars, and I never believed.
Well, Back to the Future promised us hoverboards, and you know, Jetsons promised us flying cars.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, you could make an argument that a helicopter was a flying car, but
yeah.
I mean, if you can drive to an airport and then take off down that runway, I'll give you,
it's neat.
Although I do wish that it was something cooler named than Air Car. I mean, really, doesn't that just sound like a kindergartner was like writing their storybook,
listen,
and they were like,
Peter,
I invented the air car.
I just saw Josh get like twice as big being like, yeah, you see, marketing is important.
They spent all of their money on research and development. They did not spend it on marketing, okay? So they got to the end and they were just so, I mean, it's a lot of work to develop a car that flies, and they get to the end, and they're like, I don't know, we'll just call it air car.
If you want to have a better quality of life, hire an engineer. If you want to have something named well, do not hire an engineer.
and they were probably, too, right? They were probably thinking, oh, well, that whole Air Jordan thing seemed to work out for everybody, so let's just roll with air car.
Who knows? We'll have a movie about it, too.
Yeah.
The air car.
I think it's funny. Everybody's... you know, there's this huge push for electric vehicles, and that's been kind of the next on the horizon. And these folks are just like, nah, we're going to leap over you and just literally go to the air.
We're going to convert to air fuel.
Yeah. Well, you guys are fighting over Teslas and battery operated machines. We're just going to fly.
It's really cool.
I mean, this is bothering me.
I'm giving it a Google?
I'm going to ask ChatGPT to give me 10 better names for a flying car and see if we can't come up with something.
Okay, we're AI in it, baby.
Yeah, we are.
I like it. Right. Oh, here we go, doing it live.
Give me 10 names for a flying car. Number one, Skyrider.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's better.
That's awesome.
Air Sailor, Celestial Wing, Aeromotive.
Mm.
Nimbus Drive, Fly Fusion, Aero Vista, SkyQuest, Aeroglide, and CelestaJet. But Skyrider right out the gate.
Yeah, all of them are better. That one's the best.
Yeah.
But do we like that? Because somewhere deep in our psychology, we associate that with Knight Rider.
Well, yeah.
Is that a bad thing?
No.
Do you want to be associated with that without just saying it?
Skyrider. What was the Fusion one? Fly Fusion.
Now, Josh, have you lost time playing on ChatGPT yet?
I've not.
Peter told me about it on a Friday, and then next thing I know, I'm back at work on Monday, and I had a whole weekend.
I've poked around on it just to know enough about it to be dangerous, so I could talk about it. But I've not spent.
It's very interesting.
All right, so I asked AI for the tagline for the Skyrider.
Okay.
Take flight with Skyrider. Soar above the ordinary.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, so my job's going to be obsolete soon.
I was going to
say. It's right there.
Let's get back to that IRA.
You shrunk back to normal size after.
Soar above the ordinary.
I mean, honestly, that's really good.
That is really good.
And you would think an engineer could do that because that's all like,
yeah,
I don't know. Please give me answer. And then let's be honest,
it's a lawyer coming in then and saying you can't name it that. Here's why.
If somebody can come up with a better car name than Skyrider with the tagline soar above the ordinary, send it in.
Yeah, we need to hear
it. We'll send you a koozie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Send in what you would name your flying vehicle. And a corporate name, not like, I'm gonna name it Betty, like a corporate name. You know what I mean?
I would name mine the Nebuchadnezzar from The Matrix.
And that's why you do what you do for a living.
Yeah.
AI's at least another year away from taking mine.
So now that I realize I'm going to have to find a new career in a couple of years, if anybody's got some leads, shoot them my way. Well, now that we've reached the point of being absurd, yes, send in your thoughts on what you would name your flying vehicle. Skyrider is clearly heads and tails above. Let's see if you're smarter than AI. They gave you a tagline and everything. They give you like a little blurb on it. Let's see if you're smarter than AI. We'll send you a koozie. Well, I wanna say really quick before we end that we're having a baseball night.
Yeah.
July 21st, Kingsport Axemen. I don't know who they're playing. I'd have to look at the schedule. I've been too focused on other things.
Well, and I think it's the last game before the All-Star game.
I believe you're right. Yeah. So we're going to be sponsoring that night. We're going to have a couple baseball bats signed by the team that we're going to try to give away during the game. I think we're going to try to get Peter on the mound for the opening first pitch. I'll be right behind the catcher with a radar gun.
It's going to be slow.
And I think
if I break 65, I'll be pleased.
I think we should do a challenge that if Peter doesn't throw over X amount of speed, that he has to buy everyone in the stadium a hot dog.
They had record attendance for their July 4th thing, and they had 4,300 some odd people.
We'll come up with something else.
If you've got ideas for that, also send that in.
Either we need to set the bar low enough that I know that I'm going to do it.
Or really high.
Or really high, and then make whatever I'm giving away really cheap.
You can have an air car if Peter throws over 120.
Send in your information for Peter, how fast he needs to throw and what the prize needs to be to connect at AFIAdvisors.com. Also, that's where you need to send in the name of your air car. And go follow us on all of our social media channels. We like to stay connected to folks there. And guys, we need to get going. We've got more work to do. Thank you. It was fun.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.